You're listening to the Jason Greger Show, presented by PlayAlberta.ca, Alberta's only regulated online gambling website. Use the promo code, and you get a new one every month, Greger50, and you'll get a free $50 play only at PlayAlberta.ca. Alan Mitchell joins us. LT, how you doing?
I'm good. I know it sounds a little bit early, but I figured out what I'm going to get you for Christmas.
Hmm.
Oh. Yeah, I'm going to get you 3 printer ink cartridges.
Oh, buddy, I don't think you can afford it. I could not. I bought 1 printer cartridge, $270, cayenne. I'm like, what the hell is going on? I used to buy them for like $80. It's the biggest ripoff, Staples. The biggest ripoff ever.
Oh my God!
I remember
in 2008 when I worked in sales, we ran out of magenta, and the general manager went completely off the grid. He was so angry that he had to buy magenta, and it was probably like $50 then. it's quadruple the price.
Well, I did actually shout out to all the listeners. I got a lot of DMs and say, hey, switch to this printer. Is this why? And then there's new ways, and the cartridges, some don't have cartridges anymore, and it's way better. So honestly, I looked at the price of a printer. I'm like, yeah, might as well buy a printer. It's cheaper than 2 cartridges. Like, what a joke. Absolute joke. And don't tell me terrorists either. I'm not buying that. Not in this case. Like, no, absolutely not. It's the worst. Like, holy cow, I couldn't believe it.
Every once in a while, I find something that gets Greger, and that's when I read it. I thought, I'm going to bring that up.
Dude, I was just like blown away. I'm like, is this a misprint? I'm like, am I buying a 4-pack here? Like, no, 1 single one. So that might be the end of that one. I'll tell you that right now, Al. So, speaking of outrageous, here's a claim, Al. The Edmonton Elks will have 2 quarterback sacks tonight.
Oh, come on. Well, I mean, maybe you're just here's the thing. They should.
Yeah, you're right, yes.
But, I mean, it's such a weird year, you know, and with all of that, I think you mentioned it the other day, with all of that, if they win tonight, and I'm not saying that it will happen, but if they win tonight, then it's like there are things that are within reach if they straighten up and fly right from here on in. Like, it's not – that's the great thing about the CFL. The crossover spot, if BC falters at all, and they could, is not out of – it's not – if they win enough games, it's not outrageous. I know that's a big, you know, caveat. They have to win enough games. But as badly as they played, they're lucky to be where they are, I think.
Oh, God, yeah. Yeah, no, and that's why, hey, get on a roll here, and you know what, Toronto is a winnable game, doesn't mean they will, but it's a, you know, it's not like you're taking on 8-1 Saskatchewan where you'd think like it would be a monumental upset. Beating Toronto tonight would not be deemed a massive upset by any stretch of the imagination.
Yeah, it's true, and we saw last night, Ottawa is like, you know, they're struggling for consistency. They've got all kinds of things going on, and they were not like it was late when Winnipeg put that thing out of reach. So CFL's like that. It is a great league. It's like, you know, I watch a lot of CFL, and it is wildly entertaining.
Oh, without question, Al. I know you cover all the prospects very well. I'm actually surprised. Were you surprised at all? And, you know, obviously they could have signed him, but they didn't. Mizura, Mata, and Munsonberger, the Oilers lost all 3 of their rights officially today because it's August 15th, right? They wrapped up their 4th and final year of NCAA eligibility. And, you know, obviously, you know, Mizura and Mata were long shots. The Munsonberger pick, I think, is fair to say was a reach at the time. And 4 years later, looks like it was a bad reach. Do any of these guys even play like a decent level of European pro hockey in your eyes?
I think the guy that to keep in mind to watch for is Munsonberger, and here's the thing that I think that we have to as people, like, I look at the numbers and I read the scouting reports, but we have to realize that we have limitations, and scouts are paid to project these guys, pro or amateur. Munsonberger is big and he can skate, and he does have a little bit of an edge, but you know that doesn't mean he can play at the level they need him to. So yeah. I think it, you know how it is, Jason, like some guys are really fast, I remember I told a scout one time, you know, watch JF Jacques. He's fast and he's big. And the scout said, yeah, but he can't play. And so there is a gap between what we can say with authority and what maybe the scouts can project. And I think with Muenzenberger, I don't know, but I think everything looks like it's there. But there's a reason they didn't sign him. Now, somebody said on my blog today, well, Ken Holland will sign him because he drafted him. But that's different than losing a guy that you believed in. If they don't believe in him, there's no reason to take him.
Yeah, 100%. And we don't know for sure that Fast Kenny will sign him. But, I guess it's possible, no doubt. Al, the question... I was looking at PTOs, and I was told by the orders like one, maybe two, at the most for them. But I've had lots of texters asking the goaltending. There's James Reimer, who Kevin Woodley quite likes his numbers, and then there's Ilya Samsonov. Now goalie PTOs, I've looked, and I was trying. It was hard to find a goalie on a PTO. But would you consider either one as a PTO, or is that just a waste of time and you're taking away reps from your goalies?
Oh no, I would consider Reimer. I've always liked Reimer. I think that Reimer, and he's aged pretty well. I would take a chance on Reimer. I think that would be, that's just me talking, but I've always liked Reimer. I always have. I always thought he would be, pretty good. And you never know. I'm not saying he'd make the team. I'm not saying anything like that, but I think that Reimer is, he's had a really good pro career, and the other thing is he's played under enormous pressure. And basically, when you're playing goal for the Oilers, you're playing under enormous pressure. You just are. So I think Reimer is a guy I'd look at for sure.
Hmm. Okay, yeah, it's an interesting one. Like it's a PTO. It doesn't cost you anything. Now the Oilers already have six signed goalies, though, right? So that's the issue. Now they would have to, if you bring in another goalie, which I know the NHL is their main thing, then you would have to find like another league for one of your young three guys to play in, right? That's the one challenge here.
The one thing that they could do, if they get an extra goalie, they could send Johnson back to Sweden. Like that, the team he played with over there. I didn't see whether they're trying to get moved up to the higher league, but he had a really good year there. They'd welcome him back with open arms.
Yeah.
So there's a little leeway there that I'm not saying they're going to do that, but there's a little leeway there that they could. And I mean, they've got Connor Unger. They signed a couple of years ago. They've got Nathan Day, and then they've got the fellow that Stan Bowman signed out of Syracuse, Tompkins, who's got, he's got some real pro experience, and he's a little older goalie. I assume he's going to be the starter in Bakersfield, but you want to get a look at these younger guys too. So, if they ended up signing a veteran guy out of a PTO, probably there's some things they can do. They could run the two young guys down in the ECHL if they wanted to, and then bring them up when they feel like they want to have a look at them. But we'll see. It's still like there's so much still to come, and then there's waivers. Like I still think DiPietro in Boston.
Oh, that's
is a hell of a
yes.
Yeah, he's a hell of a goalie. Maybe they'd have to trade for him. But Stan Bowman's have been pretty good with August trades to improve the team. Emberson and Pod Colson came here, and I know they did because of the offer sheet. But if you look back on those two deals, those were good deals he made in August a year ago.
Yeah, Emerson's another one. It didn't, that was more of a cap dump for sure, right? To move off of Cody Ceci and make some other decisions, yada yada yada. But I'm just, to me, like a forward PTO would just be like, hey, do we need an extra body so it saves a few games? Because I don't see anybody on a PTO that look and say, wow, this guy, A, could make the team, and then B, be a difference maker.
No, there's, they've got some young guys in there. I mean, I think Lazar probably bumps Noah Filth, but I don't know that. I think Matthias Janmark is depending upon how this thing breaks down, he might have a little bit of trouble there. I mean, I don't know who's going to play fourth line center, and that'll be a big decision. Will they play Henrique or Nuge on the wing? They did Nuge a year ago. I mean, I know you've talked about playing at third line center. We'll see. The one good thing is that they have options. They've got I love their defense. People aren't talking about it, but I think their defense is really good. I think it's you and me, and that's about it, who actually think Stuart Skinner's a good NHL goaltender. But I think that up front, they're pretty set. I mean, that if they were to run, and I'm just using this as an example, if you're going to run McDavid, Draisaitl, Nuge, and, you know, whoever, it doesn't matter, but Henrik or Janmark or Noah Philp or whatever, Lazar, that's four pretty damn good centers. It really is. Like, I mean, all kidding aside, Lazar was hurt a year ago, but 2 years ago he played really well. And if he can be healthy and get back to that level, then you know, these Oilers are looking pretty good at like up the spine, center and defense. And I know people won't like it, but I do like their goaltending. I know they might look to upgrade at the deadline, but I think that. At $2.6 million, man, I'd run Skinner back another year. And if he plays well, then you sign him to, what, five or whatever. But I'd give him this year. That's my feeling. I know I'm in the minority.
Well, you've invested a lot of money in Stuart Skinner, a lot of time. And he's taken you to two Stanley Cup finals. Now, has the road been perfectly smooth on the way there? No. But he has he's performed very, he hasn't underperformed his contract for sure. I don't think anybody can argue that. And he's a young goalie who has made strides. You know what? Improvement doesn't just mean you go up and each year you get better and you get better and you get better. It's never, if it was that easy, there'd be lots of pure, great number one goaltenders in the NHL, right? Like, it's not that easy. And I know you've studied a long time, as have I. Like, there's never a guaranteed escalator ride to the top that automatically keeps going up. And, you know, you're top 25 and then you're top 23 and then you're top 19, right? It doesn't always work that way. And I'm with you. I think they look and they'll see how the season goes, because they've got a lot invested in Skinner. And there's lots of reasons to believe that he can. Because 2 years ago, Al, under Chris Knobloch, he was a top 10 goalie in all the key departments.
Yeah, and you know, even sooner than that, or after the Dallas series, you look at what Skinner did 2 years in a row against Dallas, and I know that Florida has been, you know, the tough one to overcome. But I just think that good, smart organizations, you know, if there's a play there, you make the play. But if there isn't, there's no reason to step off of Stuart Skinner at this point. Maybe there will be, but I just don't see it right now. And Calvin Pickard played very well in the backup role. He just did. So run him back, see what's there at the deadline, and then go from there. And then next year, you're going to have like more cap room, fewer no movement clauses, and maybe it'll be a little easier to make a move.
Yeah, I was antiquing recently, and I found an autographed Curtis Lazar photo from the 2013 nice. Entry draft. $35, nice. Framed.
Woo.
Good buy or a great buy?
Great buy. Great buy. I will tell you that I talked to Curtis Lazar several times when he was here with the Oil Kings, and you couldn't meet a nicer young person. I know people say that all the time, but what a great guy. Really, really great guy. And he was a better junior than he has been a pro, but he was an outstanding junior. And that Oil Kings team for me was just a special club to watch. I watched them a lot. And I'll have very fond memories of them. They're, you know, in junior hockey, you build towards something and then you try to win it and make it special. And that team was special. And Lazar was a big part of it.
Well, he's a really good character guy for your room. He's a right shot who can play wing or center. And I won't be surprised at all that, like, he's an upgrade on Derek Ryan. It's no question in my mind, right? So if you look at organizational depth and, the fourth line center spot, you know, because I'm a little bullish. I would have no problem giving, if Nugent Hopkins is my third line center, trying Adam Henrique on the left wing. I'd have no issue.
There you go.
Yeah.
Yeah, and you know the it just gives you more. Like, how many centers do you have? You're lining up for faceoff in your own zone. You got like a lefty and a righty. That's always a good idea, right? Then you can do the strong side. So I like that the Oilers in recent seasons have had more than four centers. You know, like I think people look at Lazar's numbers last year and they go, "Well, he's a fringe guy." You go back 2 years and you look when he was healthy. He played a lot and he played well. And I think that's the player they got.
Yeah, well I had him on the show, and he talked about the fact that basically all year long, his knee was just bugging him, right? And he ended up having surgery from it, and then it didn't heal properly. And now, he's 100% healthy for the first time in over a year. So, you know what? He's a depth guy, but if all your depth guys can chip in here or there, you know what? And obviously he knows Edmonton, knows the community, he's excited to be here. So he'll add a little juice to the team. I don't mind him as a fourth line player at all.
No, me either. I think it's a good move. And now we just wait. You know, the staying healthy will be key, because if he can, he's taken a chance here on the contract he signed, but he has a really good year. You never know, right? Mm-hmm. And so there's some positivity there. We haven't even talked about, guys like Thomas. I don't know where the hell all these guys are going to play, Gregor. I mean, they've got like five lines.
Al, I've said it all offseason for me. David Tomasek is without question the biggest wild card. I don't have a real accurate sense of what to expect from him at all.
Yeah, I think that's fair.
Yeah, and so I've talked to scouts and I get different reports. A lot of them are like, hey, I think, bare minimum, he could be a bottom six guy for you. Some think he has a potential to be a complimentary second line guy. So that would be ideal. If like that, I think is maybe pretty high, but we'll see when he comes in here. He's like, I hope when he comes in that he's just like, I'm 29 years of age. I have zero to, I can go back and play another 8-9 years in Europe and make a really good living, because there's good money to be made over there, no question. So come in here and not be scared and just go after it. I think it'd be awesome.
Yeah, no, it's true. And you never know. The European guys who come over, people are like, well, the only the guy who's ever done this or whatever is, this guy or that guy. But, all he has to do is contribute. If he outplays, I'm not saying he will, but if he outplays Matthew Savoy, and even if he spends 20 games on the second line and then Savoy replaces him, then that helps the club,
Yeah.
And so I think we always think about things as like, okay, he's going to be on the second line or the third line and that's set. But if he's a guy who can play up and down the lineup, well, that gives them even more utility, right?
Yeah.
And he played in a real good league last year and he filled the net. So let's just see what he has. It's going to be very interesting. But I agree with you. He's a complete wild card.
Al, what's the score going to be tonight for the Green and Gold?
It's going to be 27-20 for the Elks. And I think they're going to be behind in the fourth quarter. Not a lot, but they're going to come back and win a big one.
All right, Al. Have yourself a wonderful weekend.
You too, guys.